It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. You're out, you're about, but you want your Dan Patrick. Well, good news, he goes everywhere with you. If you missed the show, you can podcast it. If you want to see the show, just go to Peacock, and we stream it live every weekday. Watch past episodes, too. The Dan Patrick Show, available anywhere you are, any way you want it. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
How good this is.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
I don't see another radio show on the
Instead, you get Doug Gottlieb and Dan Byer broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show. Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. Welcome in. It is the 4th of July, which kind of a weird sports day, right? Like the biggest sporting event is the same dude eating a ton of hot dogs in what I can only deem as a magic trick. That's what I feel like. I feel like it's like at some point it's a magic trick. You can't eat 70 hot dogs in one sitting without there being some sort of magic. Say good morning to Dan Byer, who's
good morning, Doug.
Good morning. John Ramos, how you doing?
I'm good, Doug. How are you today?
I'm well. Jay Stu, you know what's funny? We do a segment on our the podcast version of our show called You're Annoying. I will tell you two things super annoying about the 4th of July that I think you're immediately gonna nod your head about, right?
Love it.
It's, well, generally fireworks. I agree,
by the way.
And like most guys, I believe, go through some sort of phase where you like blowing crap up. You're like, yeah, America. Right. So it's not necessarily that sort of phase. It's the, we have these fireworks shows and they're kind of the same thing every year. And like, do you want to go see the fireworks? Like, you know, like I'm in my 40s now. I've seen a lot of fireworks show. They're kind of all the same. And oh yeah, by the way, you know that little finale thing? We could wrap this thing up a lot quicker if we just did the finale the whole time. The second part to it is, and this is a big one, which is people who take pictures of fireworks and put them on Instagram. Like, we all know what fireworks look like. We're all in America. It's 4th of July. Pretty good chance if we're outside, there's fireworks overhead. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're not really capturing or enjoying the moment if you're taking a picture of the moment.
Would the fireworks, instead of the smiley face in the middle, if there was a frown, would that change things up?
Maybe.
Because that's a new one with a smiley face. I don't know if new within the past 20 years, but it has added an element to it.
That's a great point, Dan Beyer, okay? Because I just had this discussion last night where I said, you know, somewhere in a laboratory, there's guys that invent these new fireworks things, but it takes you like 5 years of seeing it before you realize something has changed. Right? Yes. You're like, did I just see it would look like ants? And then you don't watch another fireworks show until the very next year. You're like, hey, I think I just saw the thing that looked like ants before. It doesn't become a thing till like year four or five. You're like, see, here comes the little things that look like ants.
It also takes them 5 years to develop because they're doing it with six fingers. So that makes it really, really difficult.
That's a very, very good point. This is a night or day where we have fireworks and everybody does the same thing, right? You keep your kids up, especially if you have little kids. And Dan, you're coming to this age, right, where you got to keep your kids up because they got to see the fireworks. They're up past their bedtime. They don't actually, they like the fireworks initially, but they also get frustrated at the pace of the initial fireworks. Then it's done. Then there's so much traffic to get back to your car and get them home. It is not worth it. Watch it on your balcony or maybe here's another one, watching fireworks on TV. You're just lazy there. Like, if you're going to watch the fireworks, watch the fireworks. If it's on TV, it just does not translate at all.
I feel that San Diego display a few years ago when they let them all off at the same time. That was like the viral clip. Remember when they accidentally, and it was just this massive barrage of fireworks. And for the 45 seconds, it was freaking awesome. But I feel that's been replaced by have you seen on TikTok the one, I think it's in Dallas. They're actually lighting it during the day.
Yeah.
In the middle of the street.
Yes. And then something goes into the box and the box takes off.
Yes. I don't want to laugh, but. Yeah,
no, I'm laughing. Honestly, it's a great point because it's like when you see those videos of a man taunting a bull, right? Where at some point you become a fan of the bull. You're like, let him have it. Yeah. In this particular case, I don't want anybody to lose a digit, but I definitely like a little bit of seared hair, right? You kind of had it coming to you, dude. If you guys were that close and you had a big box of fireworks and you're that dumb that a spark can light off, you know, $1,000 goes up in exactly like 30 seconds. I find that to be hilarious because it's not my money. Not my money at all. Welcome in, Stan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, iHeart Radio app. It is the 4th of July. And we've reached two places in NBA free agency. We've reached I hadn't heard that name in quite a while, right? It's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi. I have not heard that name in quite a long time. Corey Joseph signs yesterday. Like, Corey Joseph, I remember him. Where was he? He was with the Pistons this year. Did the Pistons have a team this year? And ask yourself, honestly, can you name a Pistons player? Cade Cunningham's my only name. Other than that, I got nothing for you. Anyway, we have reached that point, and we've reached the point of, you know, finally, Damian Lillard, they've announced it's official. It's a divorce, and we'll get to that upcoming. But I think the thing that jumps out at me and what happens with my cell phone, with my friends, and before you get to your 600 or 800 or 8,000 or 6,000 limit of tweets, that's a new thing over the weekend, wasn't it? All of a sudden, our tweets were limited based upon whether or not we were verified?
Only on Saturday. I have not had a problem since.
Because they were like, cleaning data or something and they're trying to speed it up or I'm not really sure. Interesting on Saturday, right? Is that like if Elon was a Mormon, would they not have tweets on Sunday? That would have been
It seemed like a way to punish those unverified.
Right.
You need to start paying, Doug.
Totally. And you can't have TweetDeck now if you're not verified. I believe that's coming as well. Yep. And TweetDeck's a great little device. And those of us who earn their verification the old way by being some sort of quasi-slappy celebrity are mad that now I got to pay $8 to be the equal of every other human being. It's basically behind a paywall. That's what Twitter has worked behind a paywall. Hey, you didn't think Elon paid, what was it, $44 billion and didn't expect to make money on it? Like, this wasn't altruism. He didn't go like, you know, I'm just going to spend it just to spread my own political thoughts. Like, no, he wants to make money on it, and this is how, and he will. But I think the thing that jumps, and you guys tell me, okay, the thing that jumps out at you is the $260 million contracts that have been handed out to what, Lonzo Ball's gotten one. Who else has gotten one?
Anthony Edwards got one.
Got one. Not the actor. Well, he actually is an actor, but the basketball player, Anthony Edwards. Right?
Talk to me, Goose.
And so here's the and this even happened with, Memphis Grizzlies. He was, he talked ish about LeBron. And
Dylan
then,
Brooks?
Dylan Brooks got $20 million a year, right? 4 years, $80 million, is that about right, with the Houston Rockets?
Yes.
And what happens with people is, have any of you guys been car shopping recently? Like new car shopping?
Not new car shopping. Within the past year, we did purchase a new
vehicle.
So
pre-owned cars.
Yes.
Pre-loved cars, right? We can't just say used cars. By the way, do pre-owned car salesmen have the same reputation as used car salesmen? Man, a guy's just a used car salesman. No, I'm a pre-owned car salesman.
Wait a minute. Have we stopped using used? Who's offended by used?
Oh, everybody. It's not. Nobody's offended by it. Dealerships.
Yes. Wow.
Certified pre-owned.
When was the last time you went shopping for a car, bro? It doesn't say.
I didn't know used was an old term.
Some of these don't even say used. It says new pre-owned. Right? You're not used. You're not used. You're pre-owned. Right? Or pre-loved. Or certified, right? What's certified mean? Like, we ran through the shop and it runs. So there you go. Anyway, if you've been new car shopping, to me, is the one that's changed the most. And what I mean by is for our lifetime, and there's gonna be a lot of people nodding your head. You'd go in and you'd see the sticker price, and the thought on the sticker price was that was if you pay this price and walk out the door, you are the biggest dum-dum on the face of the earth, right? No one pays sticker price. Zero people pay sticker price. It's like Bed Bath & Beyond, where you walk in and everything is 30% off and you got a 25% off coupon in your pocket that was delivered to your house, right? So you don't really even judge. Kohl's is like that too, right? Like everything is Kohl's. You buy 2 6-packs of socks and you get some sort of discount. There is no, the sticker price doesn't really matter. And for our lifetime, that's how it was. Well, again, because of COVID, they didn't make cars for a long time. Then, you know, people weren't using cars. And so everything got backlogged. And then we also had stuff off of San Pedro where they bring in all the cars. That's still kind of blocked off there. Anyway, because of a shortage, not only can you not necessarily get a new car, but people are paying over sticker price, and the sticker prices are all jacked up as well. You're like, excuse me? Yeah, go try and buy a new car. And it honestly kind of defies logic. You're like, well, gas is, well, not as expensive as it was at a peak, still really expensive. And you try and go walk in and buy like a truck. Like a really nice one of the, I don't even pick a brand, but walk in, you're like, dude, when did trucks become 80 grand? And oh yeah, by the way, you're paying above sticker for it. For our lifetime, you'd walk in, you see a sticker price, you go, all right, what's the invoice price? And the invoice price wasn't really the invoice price, right? Because they have what's called holdback. And like, these are not, I'm not some sort of car buying genius. I'm just old enough and wise enough and looked at the internet enough and talked to enough people. Most of us know somewhere around quote unquote invoice price. And maybe if you could get invoice minus 500, you felt like you got a decent deal. Those days are over. Now it's changed some because of interest rates, right? They've lowered some, and that stopped kind of wholesale inflation and obviously slowed the market a great deal. But the fact is that if you haven't shopped for a car in like 4 or 5 years and you walk into a car dealership, you're like, wait, what? You don't have cars here? And if I want a car, I have to order it. And if I order it, I have to pay above sticker? That doesn't make any sense. That's what's happening to so many of you when you look at these NBA deals. You're like, wait, Lonzo Ball got $260 million? And look, I get it. What doesn't make sense about the NBA system is basically you can have the idea behind it with this new collective bargaining agreement is You can pay your own homegrown, home-drafted player so much money for more years than anybody else that there's no way that they're going to leave you to free agency. That's the idea. And the idea is to protect the small markets, right? Because Utah and Charlotte and Oklahoma City and I feel like Howard Dean right now. And right. and San Antonio. Woo! They were all getting pissed because, like, dude, or New Orleans, like, we get these guys, and then the second they want a big contract, the only difference before was 5 years guarantee versus 4 years guarantee. And in basketball, if you sign a 4 year guaranteed contract, you're going to get another contract at the other end. So they kind of outsmarted it. So the new collective bargaining agreement, again, you can give a guy so much money, it makes it very, very hard for them to leave. But the numbers are ridiculous. On the other hand, the scale is different than my salary and your salary haven't gone up, but what the NBA is making is exponentially higher. And it's all based upon those percentages and based upon the very strong likelihood that their new TV deal will far outshine this TV deal. And because of those percentages, they'll make a bunch of money. And look, what doesn't make sense is that it really should be slotted like top player in the league. So Nikola Jokic is arguably the best player in the league, but because he's one of the top two players on the Nuggets, he'll be a supermax contract guy, right? Whereas Lonzo Ball is going to get the same amount of money as either one of the two stars of the Boston Celtics. Right? Like Jaylen Brown is, we think at some point, is going to get one of those deals. Jaylen Brown's team has gone to the Eastern Conference Finals and NBA Finals, whereas Lonzo Ball, who a very talented player, has done exactly zero in the playoffs. Nothing. Nada. So, but he's the max guy to their team, so he's paid an equal amount commensurate with all the other max contract guys of his age on other teams. That part doesn't make sense. What does make sense is, if you're not paying attention, the numbers have gone up, but they've gone up across the board. Dylan Brooks getting $20 million seems like a crazy amount of money. And honestly, it is, right? I mean, $20 million guaranteed per year for 4 years to play for the Houston Rockets. And look, it's an overpay by the Rockets because they're trying to change the culture. They've drafted a bunch of young guys who couldn't get along with their coach and ran him out of town, and now you get a legit coach, and Ime Udoka comes in, and he wants to bring in some vets, and they overpaid for their point guard, Fred VanVleet, and they overpaid for Dylan Brooks because they're culture guys. You got to overpay to get a guy to leave his team. I get all of that. But $20 million for Dylan Brooks sounds like a gargantuan amount of money, but then compare it with the fact that his starting point guard, Fred VanVleet, is going to be making in the mid-40s to mid-50s during the same period of time. It makes sense? Inflation doesn't work that way for all of our salaries. It's worked this way. Did you guys see that the average American is paying 71% more for groceries per year? Right? And that's all that's happened here in the NBA is you went to a car dealership. You hadn't been there for a while. You're like, holy crap, $260 million? You're like, yeah. Did you know Carl Anthony Towns' contract, like the last year, he's going to make $60 million? Like, really? Yeah. I mean, maybe if we put some like interest rates on this thing to slow it down, I don't know. It's crazy.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Good morning to you, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan Danettes. Dan Beyer alongside my esteemed producer, Jason Stewart, John Ramos, who's coordinating all the sounds and stuff. Keeping an eye on the weather. This is a big day for the weather people nationwide, right?
Huge.
This is all the weather people, all the weather ladies are wearing their best stuff. like, man, she looks good today. Yeah, everybody's got the TV on wondering, you know, beach, lake, pond, whatever, what the weather's going to be like. And will it be overcast or clear? Will it be thunderstorms when the fireworks pop off tonight? Right, big, big. This is the weather day where they wear their special bar mitzvah suits if you're the guy, right? That's what they wear. Big weather day. This is like for Mel Kiper Jr., you know, the draft, right? And Daniel Jeremiah, the draft. This is their day. This is a big, big day. Big day. Big day. When's the hot dog eating thing?
I think the main event goes off right after our show ends.
Yeah, nine.
Was that noon Eastern? 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, no, noon Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific.
Am I the only one who you could eat whatever you want. I don't really need to watch it, but the one thing that really kind of, just like in MMA, when they have a fighter beated and unconscious on the ground, and then the fighter goes in and punches him in the face a couple more times, that's when it gets uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
The wetting down of the hot dog buns is the equivalent of the MMA fighter punching an unconscious fighter. It's uncomfortable to watch, no?
It's uncomfortable to watch. I don't know if I love the comparison, but I thought you were going to go after it's already won and he's still stuffing his face with more hot dogs just to get the records. Like, we got it, dude. You're still the champ. Like, isn't enough? I just want to understand the magic trick to it. You know what it's like? It's like people who are double jointed and they can make their finger look like it's broken. Like, how do you do that?
That's the worst.
Right? People who can whistle. Can you guys whistle with your fingers?
Like, no.
I cannot do that. Right? And I think there's obviously a much smaller portion of people who can do this, but can they know the trick to being able to eat that much? I don't even care if it's sogged down hot dog buns. It's still going into, you know, your stomach. Like, how do you keep it down? How do you do it? I feel like there's a magic trick to it that everybody in the industry knows and the rest of us, we're like catching up to. I honestly feel like that's magic is the best because like magic, like, oh yeah, this, how do they do that? I thought he was cut in half. No, there's got to be something to it. And then they wave a cape and the woman's there. They wave a cape and the woman's not there. How does that work? I don't know. It's the same thing with this. People in the industry is like, not that big a deal. He's just the best at it. It's a lot like magic, right? Copperfield forever was the best.
The thing about the hot dog eating contest that I do enjoy is the lead up to it. Because
Oh, yeah.
It is such a show. And that is, I think, is what made it what it is. The ridiculousness of it. The carnival barker, the guys coming off of the bus and getting announced like they were playing Game 6 of, you know, the NBA Finals, that sort of thing. The wrestling aspect of it, I think, has really, really made it the spectacle that I enjoy. The actual eating, I think we all can say, is pretty gross.
Yes.
But the actual spectacle of it is something that I appreciate.
I truly don't enjoy watching other people eat. I don't think anybody does, right? I don't think anybody does. And when you're eating like that, nobody really enjoys it. But you're still, in this particular instance, you're still impressed nonetheless. You are impressed.
Joey Chestnut should take a picture of the 80 hot dogs in front of him and put them on Instagram immediately beforehand, since everybody just takes pictures of their food. Should be delicious. Can't wait to down these 80 dogs. See you later.
Like that one. Like that one. But is this the only day you follow him, or do you follow him all the time?
No, this is it.
Wait, when does Joey? When does he become like an influencer on Instagram, where he's got reels, where he's like, you know, you guys want to see my diet? Like, here's my diet. Okay, in the morning, I crack like 5 egg whites, and then 2 eggs, and I mix them in. And here's the cheese that I use, and here's the caloric intake I take. All of those things. I'm waiting for that moment. So I was thinking about this. We have sporting events generally tied to most holidays. 4th of July is a hard one. Yeah, it's a hard one. And it's a difficult one because, like I said, with baseball, baseball, there's 162 games, 81 home games, and you can't really have the All-Star game on the 4th of July because you're telling all of the other teams in baseball, hey, filling up your stadium. I mean, even Oakland, if they played a home game, might be filled. Okay, maybe not. Might be filled today. Right? You fill up your stadium, you have a game, you have the fireworks, they'll all be filled. So, and there's no real ability with the way that interleague play works now for you to have it be interleague day. Right? Remember, there's 15 and 15. So because there's only 30 teams, there's always an interleague series. You can have all interleague, but you always have an interleague series in every series in baseball. Right? I'm making sense. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. Do listeners, am I explaining it correctly?
Yes, right? Correct.
There's 30 Major League Baseball teams. There's 15 AL teams. There's 15 NL teams. So at any given time, there's always an interleague series. And I know a lot of you are like, we know that, dumbass. Like, no, I think some people actually don't know that. There are still a lot of people who will turn on a baseball game and there's a runner at second to start the 10th inning. You're like, why is there a runner at second to start the second inning, to start the 10th inning? Like, they changed the rules. Yeah, and I know the 30 teams in baseball and switching the Astros over and whatever, that happened a long time ago. But there are plenty of people who don't realize the ramifications of it. So you can't do, you could do an interleague day, like Dodgers, Angels, Mets, Yankees, you know, kind of go through the list of all the proximity rivalries. But again, if you're baseball, you're like, what? We're already going to fill our stadium and we fill it. If you're, you know, Oakland, San Francisco, for example, right? It's your only chance of filling up Oakland. We also have 4th of July. We're probably going to fill it up. We're not going to give that one away. So baseball, it's really hard with the number of games, with the amount of times there's interleague play. It's just hard to have a special day, and you can't have the All-Star game.
There's also the factor, and this is my problem with Christmas Day, is because I think Christmas Day is an active holiday. You're opening presents, you're doing this, you're doing that. I think the 4th is kind of an active holiday. So to be locked into a sport can be difficult. We never watched the NBA. When I grew up back in Wisconsin, we never set aside time to say, let's watch this NBA window. Was never a part of it. The NFL, different story. But I think sometimes the 4th of July is so active that it's not must-see TV. You're going places, you're doing this and that. It's kind of passive that it's on in the background if you are not attending a game.
They had the NASCAR race in Chicago, but that was on Saturday. You got any suggestions, Jay Stu? I have a thought in mind for what sporting event or events we should do on the 4th of July, but I'm willing to listen to if you have any thoughts.
I mean, the only thing I was thinking is to somehow make it work where either the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby is on the 4th every year. But that's really quirky because sometimes you'll have like a Thursday or a Friday 4th. But I don't know. Yeah, that's my best guess.
I think like this is our National Independence Day. Shouldn't we have like a series of our national teams playing?
Like the U.S. soccer teams.
U.S.
Stuff like
soccer
that.
Teams, men's,
basketball.
Women's,
yep.
Basketball, like the stuff we care about and playing, representing our country and bringing somebody big across the country. You know, you can stagger it time zones so that it's our national holiday with our national teams playing.
Maybe we should play England.
Every year. And
there you go.
They beat them twice.
Like right?
It's like it's the 1770s
and
again.
1812,
they
got to
wear red coats when they're running around the field? Why are they in red coats? It's July. They're sweating their butts off.
It's so hot.
Well, yeah, it's 4th of July, kind of red coat sort of thing, right? And you know what would be really cool? Like, right, if they played in New England, they played like at Foxborough, and all of a sudden before the English soccer team came out, they had a guy on horseback saying the British were coming.
And then you dump tea.
That actually, like, honestly, how cool walk-up music or, like, entrance music would that be for the English soccer team to walk in? Like, the British are coming. The British are coming.
That's Paul Revere, right? Paul Revere said, okay.
Yes. That would be kind of cool. What do you think of that suggestion there, Dan Byer?
I
worked on that one, by the way, over the last 8 hours when I should be sleeping, and I was trying to think of something interesting, and that's the best one I came up with.
Well, there is going to be a World Cup every 4 years, so which, unless it's in the Middle East again with the searing temperatures, there will likely be some sort of conflict or close to it. That's what was so great when we talked on your normal show, Doug, about 1994 in the match against Brazil, was that you thought it was destiny. It's on the 4th of July.
Sure.
But you're going to have that conflict likely every 4 years.
Okay. But is it at least worth exploring?
I love it. And that last part is maybe my favorite. And then I start thinking about this. Is there a bigger flex in the history of the world than to name something New England? Like, that's such a flex for us. Like, you're the old England, and this is the New England. And it's not even a state, or it's just a region of states. And that's such a great idea.
Yeah. We did drink Old English. Not Old England, but Old English, right? O-E. Right. 40s at 4, nobody, anybody?
If you thought York was good, wait till you see New York.
I can't imagine Jersey.
Is that
being
a flex over Mexico
Jersey.
In New Mexico? I don't know. I mean, is it the same level of flex? That's old Mexico. This is New Mexico. Huh? It's like my jerk store line. I just learned Discover Credit Cards does something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned doubled. Cash back from trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously, those see terms. Check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. We got to get into this. I sent you guys. Did you see the people who were stuck upside down on a carnival ride for 4 hours yesterday? 4 hours. Like, we always talk about, like, hey, that's a tough way to die, right? Like, I mean, look, there was a lot of discussion about that with the sub, you know, before we knew the sub imploded and they were probably gone instantly, right? The idea of being, you know, a couple, 1,500 meters or whatever below the sea and freezing to death and slowly running out of oxygen, like, ooh, that's a bad way to go. But I would say that's a hard way to live. Like, look, thankfully everybody's okay, but 4 hours upside down? And as you guys know, and I love roller coasters. Like, my son and I, we have this tradition now where every Rosh Hashanah, like Jewish New Year, like he's off school, so we go to Six Flags and we just do it up. We ride and try to ride every different roller coaster. That's our deal, right? And, you know, I don't know if you know how, like, if you got yours like this. I don't love heights. I like roller coasters. I love a good roller coaster, but every year, the first couple times I'm up there, I'm like, why am I doing this? And then you're like, because I love my kid. And then it's fun. Then you kind of get over it. Then you get to where, like, your stomach's a little bit queasy because you've ridden like 15 roller coasters. But nonetheless, I can't think I would ever go near a roller coaster amusement park, like PTSD galore. 4 hours upside down?
Yeah. It's actually it's in northeastern Wisconsin it happened. And so it's not like it was a huge festival or like a state fair sort of thing. This seemed to be a local fair.
Yeah.
And to
a
see
carnival.
Them, comes to town, leaves the next week. Or
right. And every, by the way, and every carny joke ever works with this person, with this story.
Oh, yeah.
But 4 hours upside down?
You would think they'd have some sort of emergency release brake that just kind of lets it come back. Cause it looks like it just goes in a circle. Just kind of release it and let it kind of make its own way back and forth till it comes straight again. But it looks like it's just stuck.
I mean, there's a lot of questions. Like, you have to go to the bathroom. Like,
That's the first question.
You just go. But then you're sitting, you don't know how long you're sitting in your own urine. And what if you have to go the other way?
I think that's at least.
Didn't register here. Until I looked closer. Ed saw a woman with long hair, and her hair was straight down. Like, it was...
Well, that would be tedious.
Yeah, I mean...
And then, like, okay, you have your phone, right? One, do you take your phone out because you're worried about dropping it? And then once you don't have it, like, you got to text, like, everybody, like, hey, I'm okay, I'm upside down a ride, whatever. But then, like, how much are you on your phone? One, worried about dropping it. Two, worried about running out of the battery. You don't know how long you're upside down. But the bathroom thing is a big, legit thing.
And if you're going on a carnival ride, there has to be that, like, you have to accept the fact that there's a decent chance you're going to be stuck upside down for 4 hours.
Right? You don't. Nobody ever thinks. You think of, like, it's got to be inertia, right? That it couldn't possibly happen. You know? Not that something couldn't go wrong. You saw that other one, like you think in Charlotte, where it's a roller coaster where they like the metal became separated and somebody pulled it out. Like, oh,
boy. Did they use like Saran wrap to wrap it?
They had a welder up there, I guess, fix it. But still, I mean, that deal is crazy.
Well, I mean, that roller coaster that they showed the video of where the part of it was coming off every time. That was pretty scary as well.
You think?
Yeah. I like how the person videoing it just kept videoing it, not saying like, hey, by the way, maybe I should go tell somebody about this.
Well, the thing is, it had to, they have like daily inspections. It somehow passed inspection.
Do you think those guys were giving them corn dogs as they were stuck up there? Like, this whole Jehovah. Here's a funnel cake.
Well, you're sitting up there like.
Here's some cheese curds.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
The guy that's at 2 o'clock, I think, has it a little bit easier than the person who's stuck at 12 o'clock on this.
Oh, yes. No question. You're stuck at 12 o'clock directly upside down. You can't do anything.
Wouldn't you pass out,
all the
Doug?
Blood rushing to your head?
You'd pass out, right, Doug? After 4 hours, at some point, your blood, like you said, the blood. I just think that's too long. I think
you just got to get your head above your heart. Could you do that? You got to, you know, your neck be strained or something.
It's a good time to do some of those crunches, you know?
Well, you're automatically crunching. I guess your back would get, do like the back thing, like the Superman, I think it was what it's called.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb for Dan, the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. You're on Fox Sports Radio. I think we got our issues fixed.
I hope so. We all good here?
We have lots of issues, but apparently those aren't any of them, right? So we're good. We're good. Doug Gottlieb for Dan Patrick, Dan Danettes, Dan Beyer alongside. So is Jason Stewart, John Ramos. Let's welcome in Rick Bucher. You read his work at foxsports.com. You see him on Speak. That's an afternoon show here on Fox Sports 1. Buke, Damian Lillard, give me your sense of where things stand.
Well, obviously, the one thing that I find interesting is the way it's being presented. Like, the Blazers are out there hunting for the best deal. And while certainly they're taking calls on who might be interested, this is being driven as much by the Miami Heat as the Portland Trail Blazers. Pat Riley is out there trying to see if he can make, or how does he make, the deal that is going to get Damian to Miami, because that's Damian's preferred destination. There's no question about that. And ultimately, that's how this is going to work. So it's really a matter of Pat out there trying to figure out, how do I get Tyler Hero? Find a market for Tyler Hero. Find the team that wants Tyler Hero. We've heard rumors of Brooklyn. I don't know if that's true or not. And how do I put that pack together of young players and draft picks that Portland would want, along with the requisite salaries that are going to have to leave Miami? Kyle Lowry would obviously have to be part of that. Tyler Hero would be part of that. And then the one other element is Portland is trying to get off of Yusuf Nurkic as well. And where do they send him? Does he go to Miami? I don't know the level of interest by Miami in Nurkic, and that's the one wrinkle here that I don't have a real answer to. But I wouldn't expect this to happen anytime soon, because there's no rush, and it is going to be a complicated deal, and I would expect it to be a multi-team deal.
James, so you think likelihood he ends up in Miami? Give me a percentage.
98%. I don't see a way in which, nobody wants to make a deal for a guy who doesn't want to be there, of Damian's magnitude and the salary that he is looking for. And let's be clear, there's not going to be equal talent coming back to Portland, and there's great value for them in getting off of Damian's contract. I know he's the face of the franchise. He sells tickets. Certainly, they don't have another incumbent star who's going to drive things the way Damian does. But He's 33 years old. They're not close to winning a championship. They've got some young, they've got some other young players coming up that they're going to have to make decisions on and pay. And paying Damian at this stage close to $50 million for 2 years and then $60 million for the 2 years after that doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a Portland team that, keep in mind, is looking to be sold at some point. And generally when teams are up for sale, the new owner would rather buy them with the books clear than with big contracts for older players.
Okay. James Harden, where does he play basketball next year?
That's a great question. And I've asked around the league and a lot of people are like, they're not so sure. He, again, stars generally end up where they want to end up. And I could see where the Clippers, trying to get their books right, would take James on a 1 year deal. I haven't gotten any indication that that there's any resistance to having James as part of that team. It's just a matter of what the cost would be and whether they can, again, be in a situation where they can try it out for a year, and if it doesn't work out, they're taking that money off of their books. I've had people tell me that if James was smart, he would stay in Philadelphia. That his best shot at competing for a title right now is in Philadelphia. But I don't get the sense that that's going to happen. James thought he was going to get a much bigger deal, extension than Philadelphia is willing to give him. And so he wants to get out of there.
But, I mean, is he surprised? Like, are we really surprised?
You know what? Here's the thing, Doug. Guys are always surprised. Like, hey, whatever our outside view of guys are, the bubble within that they're in, or the perception they have of themselves and what they should get paid, is can seem jarringly disconnected from what we see as reality. So, yeah, I would imagine his relationship with Daryl Morey, that he signed a team-friendly deal in order for them to sign P.J. Tucker, that this, his not getting a contract extension, is a surprise to him. Look, Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets was surprised when he came back and he had a good couple months. And he was like, okay, I want my max deal now. And they were like, yeah, let's slow down on that. And he was like, I want out of here. So this is not – James is not the first, by any stretch of the imagination, the first player to go, what do you mean you're not going to pay me the max?
What happens to DeAndre Ayton?
Another great question. You're full of great questions today, and I'm not full of definitive answers. I don't see how they might start the season with him. I don't see how they finish the season with him. He's a number one pick, mid-20s, and he's the fourth option on that team. And they, for all of the players that they signed, they still desperately need depth. Now, they need size, so it's not like you're trading DeAndre Ayton or Kyrie Irving or any other smaller player. They need size, but they need blue collar worker bee size. They need guys who are Kevon Looney's, who are willing to simply do the dirty work and aren't worried about touches or shots. And that's not DeAndre Ayton at this stage. And so I have not heard of any specific deals and how they would get that done, but if they're committed to playing for a championship, then they're going to have to translate DeAndre Ayton into quality role players, because they've got enough star power. And look, we saw DeAndre Ayton's ambivalence when it was Chris Paul who is going to feed DeAndre Ayton as much as anybody and did Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant aren't going to make life any more fruitful for DeAndre Ayton than it was last year.
Rick Bucher from Fox Sports 1 and FoxSports.com joining us. I'm Doug Gottlieb for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. A lot of patting on the back of Rob Pelinka for the job the Lakers have done. And I think he did a nice job, but like, yeah. How are they any better than last year?
Yeah, they'll be better simply because they're starting with everybody at the starting line. They'll have a full season together. But the thing that nobody really wants to talk about, particularly in Lakerland, is it's not so much the supporting cast. It's your star nucleus,
right?
And how can they be?
Right.
And how good can LeBron be at this stage? Because I'm looking at their roster, and LeBron James is still the go-to guy. And we saw how well that worked as far as winning a championship. He's always going to get his numbers. He's still an incredibly smart player. But AD's availability, AD's ability to be a guy who makes other players better, not defensively but offensively. And LeBron at this stage, you know, living and dying by his three-point shooting is just – That's the Achilles heel here. And I think that Rob did as best as he could in terms of getting the type of players that they need around those guys. But it's still going to come down to that nucleus. Is that nucleus better than some of the other younger, more dynamic nuclei that are playing for a championship this next season? I don't see it. They'll be lucky to get those two guys, honestly.
Right.
Based on history, you're lucky to get those two guys
healthy.
Finish healthy.
Yeah, no question. I mean, one's injury prone, the other one's going to be 39 years old. I mean, that's, you know, and LeBron is not going to be better next year than he was this year.
Yeah.
You reach the point of you're not getting better. You may be somewhere near as good, but you're not going to be as good. But by the way, what happened to LeBron having foot surgery? That didn't happen, huh? That one, yeah. It was some miracle that he was able to play. And don't get me wrong, I don't think his foot was right, but I think it's just a case of you're old and you get hurt and things break down, even for a guy who never gets hurt, gets hurt.
Yeah, it's happening the last few seasons, so shouldn't be a surprise either.
Rick, the new max contracts to these younger players.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead. I don't even have to ask the question. I mean, I feel like, again, here I'll give you my perspective, and you tell me right, wrong, and different. One, I think the NBA is doing it again. And by doing it again, I mean back when they had the 6 or 7 year guarantees, you know, if your best player, you had to give a max guaranteed contract to, even if he wasn't technically a max player, right?
Yep.
You're like, well, he's the best we got. You're like, yeah, but you're not a playoff team. So why do you feel compelled to give this guy $260 million, i.e., you know, the Charlotte Hornets? So I do think, and I know this system, tell me if I'm wrong, was created so that those small market franchises felt like they could hold on to their superstars. So you pay them so much money. But it doesn't seem to work. It didn't work previously. Why are we doing the same thing again?
Nope. And I would imagine it's still not going to work. I mean, look at Bradley Beal. Signed the max with Washington and had to wait a year. As soon as the year was up, it was, okay, I got my max. Now I want to go and play where I want to play. So it has not worked, and I do struggle with this. And you're right; we're right back to the same thing where we're giving franchise cornerstone contracts to the best player on every team, regardless of whether they actually qualify as a franchise cornerstone. And there's no certainty that they're going to stay there, even if they should prove to be the level of a franchise cornerstone. The only guy that I look at who signed those contracts that I think could potentially grow into that is Tyrese Halliburton. And I'm not even 1,000% sure there, but at least he has the basketball IQ and seems to have the commitment and he's got enough physical skill and size and all of that for and is at a vital position where I could see that. I could see him potentially being that. But yeah, it's look, all the fans are excited at this point. You know, we're keeping our guy. And then a year or two later, when they can't live up to that contract, then they want that guy. Why did we pay this guy all this money? And I would much rather see guys being paid huge sums of money on really short contracts. You know, limit them to 3 years, because if they're going to move anyway, the possibility of you getting equal value back is enhanced by the fact that that's a shorter term contract. So the league has decided not to go that way. The Players Association has decided not to go that way. And I would expect that they're going to run into the same problem that we've seen, which is we've got guys with bloated contracts who can't live up to them. And I think aside from the difficulty that it creates for teams and just working and managing their books, is the sense from fans and the supporters of the league that these guys are being paid way more than they're worth, and that they're not getting entertainment value to the level that they should.
Yeah.
And there's a resentment there, and I don't know that does good things for the popularity of the league.
I agree. And also, remember, this is coinciding with, does anybody actually play every game in the season? Right. So you're making way more money guaranteed than you ever have before, and yet you have so many guys sitting out due to load management.
And that's the other part, is that you have these young guys who are getting these max contracts, and then the max contract has become like a sign of respect,
right?
Not a sign of ability, but a sign of respect.
Sure.
And then being load managed is now viewed as a sign of respect. Like, not that it's necessarily needed, but that I'm so important to the team that I'm not going to play 82 games. I'm going to play 65 or 70 because I'm in that special category. And I'm thinking, guys in their 20s, I'm reluctant to believe that load management is necessary across the board for everybody in the league. I think it's situational, it's injury history, and yet we see it being used carte blanche across the league, regardless of a guy's injury history or his age.
Rick Bucher, you can read his work at foxsports.com, or of course you can see him on Fox Sports One's award-winning show, Speak. Buke, have a happy 4th. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it, Doug. Same to you.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.